Rise News Talk, AM 1130 and 103.5 FM. Good morning. It is Friday, February 8th, 2019. And boy, are we happy about that on this show.
Yeah, man.
I'm going to speak for everybody.
Yeah.
This week is, I'm glad this week is winding down. I'm ready for the weather to stop being so frenetic.
To stop being the weather?
To stop being the, I'm ready for no weather.
Yeah, weather needs to... I don't think that's going to happen anytime soon. We got snow forecasted for Sunday.
Yeah. No!
Yeah.
That was, but Amy... But Amy's big
announcement. Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Amy's big announcement. It's not going to get... It's not going to get snowed out, is it?
Oh, Amy, they've got those, hot cocoa and everything.
All those poor staffers that she is going to mandate be there so it looks like she actually has a crowd.
Bundle up. It's not too cold. It was below 23 a week ago. Get over it.
I've got cocoa. And what else do you want?
Got live music. It'll warm your soul.
But I'm shivering. Then pour the cocoa down your body. Pour it down your shirt.
Bathe in it.
You probably didn't get a chance to listen to it yet. I sent you guys both.
I did not listen to it yet.
I sent it, but there was a podcast. It was Ben Shapiro, and he was talking about Amy Klobuchar. Sam, you're going to have to pull the audio because it tells you how little known she is, because the way that he pronounces her name in like the strangest way I've ever heard. It's very much like the sort of the Kamala Harris conversation that we had, but it's clear like he's getting Klobuchar completely wrong. So you'll have to go and pull the audio on that. It's pretty funny.
Klobuchar?
Yes. Klobuchar. Yeah. It's you're about spot on.
We do have the Friday roundtable coming in today. Very excited about that. It's roundtable classic, Sam. It's Representative Nick Zerwas. It's comedian Brian Miller. Those are your opponents for the Friday news quiz happening at 8:35.
I'm on a streak, you know.
You are on a streak. Yeah. You've won two in a row.
Yeah.
That's right. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Defending champion Sam Santifer. Go ahead and start getting your votes in now if you want. Use Twitter. Use the hashtag TCNT. That's a way it ensures we see it. If you don't, we might not see it. Predict who you think's going to win, Nick, Sam, or Brian, and everybody who is in the pool of people that make the correct predictions will be entered into a random drawing for what I am sure is a fantastic prize.
We do have a lot to cover on the show today. That is, if we don't completely wipe out prior to the news quiz, after Sam's top five, on Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and the Green New Deal, which was laid out yesterday, which we could easily spend the entire show just wiping out on.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
It is. It's almost a parody.
Yes.
I mean, it's almost a... I saw somebody say this on Twitter. It feels like if a Republican put together a mock piece of legislation... Mm-hmm. To just demonstrate sort of how crazy the environmental, specifically, left has become, it would be a lot like this. John, they're going to get rid of air travel.
Oh, it's just the John and cow farts.
What?
They're gonna eliminate air travel.
Yeah,
we're not gonna need airplanes.
We're not gonna need airplanes anymore. We're gonna completely rebuild all the buildings in the country.
Every single one.
Every single one. And
not even joking. I mean, not even like, not even exaggerating. Like, they're going to rebuild every single structure that exists in this country.
Do you understand that construction uses a lot of like fuel?
That is one of a million questions about how this is completely economically unfeasible.
We don't ask questions like that when it comes to the Green New Deal.
My favorite line in the whole thing is this line: plant lots of trees. That is in it. That's all that it says. Plant lots of trees. Now, Drew, if you guys will indulge me for just a moment, okay?
By all means.
Okay, so we have a piece of audio that we can get in here, all right? So this was an interview with MSNBC. And then we have the subsequent audio of an interview that she did earlier in the morning that same day with a radio show. Okay, you ready? Tell me if you could spot the difference. Here we go.
How do you envision financing this? Is it all through government? Is it just, how are you envisioning financing it that it doesn't end up with the rank and file taxpayer?
So there's a couple of things. One is that
I think one way that the right does try to mischaracterize what we're doing as though it's like some kind of massive government takeover. Obviously, what we're trying to do is, well, obviously it's not that, because what we're trying to do is release that. The investments from the federal government to mobilize those resources across the country.
As you know, Congresswoman, one reason that people who are politically earlier conservative are skeptical of efforts to combat climate change mm-hmm. is that it sounds to them like it requires massive government intervention, which they just mm-hmm. don't like. Are you prepared to put on the table that, yes, actually, they're right. What this requires is massive government intervention.
It does. It does. Yeah, I have no problem saying that.
Oh, what?
Why? Because we have tried their approach for 40 years. For 40 years, we tried to let the press...
That is hours! What? That is hours apart from each other.
Cool.
Is that not amazing?
I am speechless.
Is that not absolutely... So again, that was MSNBC, right? First off, she spun it back around on the GOP, said that it wasn't a government takeover, yet earlier in the morning, she totally admitted that it was.
Awesome.
If this turned out to be one big elaborate troll, like one big prank,
yeah.
I would believe all of it. Even her running for, I know that's not the case, but even her running for office and winning to bring this about, like, this feels like, you're right, you know, what you were saying. Like, this is the most ridiculous GOP plan. But it also, it feels like this sort of weird, bizarro anti-Trump. Like, it feels like a yin to Trump's yang.
Yeah.
The media is giving her the same amount of attention they gave Trump. She is all the things that the left has accused Trump of being. Sophomoric, wrong on the facts, ridiculous, right, in the way that she goes and lays things out. You know, I mean, the way that how any self-respecting Democrat that has signed on for this Green New Deal can also push back against Trump for simply saying the wall is beyond me. This is so far beyond sort of the wall rhetoric. It pales in comparison. Like, they took Trump's idea of the wall and how awful it is. They're just like, yeah, you know what? No more planes, plant a lot of trees, rebuild every single building, no nuclear energy. Yeah, it is absolutely insane. And she's a flat-out liar.
She clearly.
It doesn't matter to her.
No.
Well, I don't even know if it's fair to call her a liar. I think she's just...
stupid?
She's just spinning off the top of her head. Like, whatever pops into that brain just happens to spill out of her mouth.
That's so great.
She's crazy.
It's not a government takeover, except that hour earlier you said that it was.
Well, and that she had no problem saying that it was a government takeover. I mean, like...
Yeah. Somebody called her, like, hey, AOC, you don't call it that.
Yeah.
That's not going to play well. I feel bad for all the Dems that have been, like, pressured to sign on to this. I don't, really, but you know, like, the Kamala Harrises of the world and the, you know, that have all signed on as co-authors. They're all doing it because they've stuck their finger in the wind, and they're like, oh, yeah, I guess this seems to be popular with our base, so... Yeah. Like, I got to think that most of them know this is absolutely insane.
And it doesn't have a chance of passing. So it doesn't matter if they go and sign on to it.
Even Nancy Pelosi was like, you know, the green dream or whatever they call it.
Yeah.
You know, that green thing that they're working on, whatever.
Yeah, this is like the Democrats, like with what the GOP did when they kept voting to repeal Obamacare over and over and over and over again.
Oh, it's worse, though.
You know, much, much worse.
It's much worse.
Sam, how has the scouring been?
It's been really good.
Fantastic.
Now...
Talk AM 1130 and 103.5 FM. Careful on your drive this morning.
Yeah,
it's a slippery one. While you're listening to Justice and Drew and Sam's Top 5 coming up.
There was some of that formidable black ice on 494 this morning on my way in. I slid around a little bit.
Darn black ice.
We'll be playing or talking a lot more about the Green New Deal later on. Quick note, though. This doesn't happen often. There's a story here from Daily Wire. The Netflix documentary Knocked Down the House. Well, it wasn't Netflix. It was a documentary that debuted at Sundance. Features Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez as one of its subjects. Netflix has paid $1 million now for the Sundance ad. The way the headline was written was that this is an Ocasio-Cortez movie. It's not. It's showcasing a couple of different women. I will say this, though. Drew, I am completely in your camp now, and I think also in somewhat, I think Sam was someone in your camp as well. You're right. She's a political creature and has grand aspirations to rule the world.
Yes.
I'm convinced.
She's Captain Planet.
I went and read her complete background. Her whole history, and seeing her whole history, it's clear as day. She was groomed early on, and has been an activist from high school up until moving all the way up. And when you see the things that she's gone through in her world, it makes all the sense in the world that she's coming out. I mean, she's still an idiot, but she clearly has grand political aspirations based off of her background. She's been groomed for a long time for
and
this.
And zero sense of pragmatism.
Right.
Like zero comprehension of how to be pragmatic, yet still work towards your goals, yet still advance your agenda, you know, through the legislative process, through, you know, the slow-moving wheels of government. I mean, there's a way to do what she wants to do. It's terrible, right, what she wants to do. It's awful. It kind of involves the destruction of this country as we know it.
Yes.
However...
Literally.
You know, because she's an activist, and, you know, she wants it all at once. She wants it all now.
Yeah.
This Green New Deal is an absolute piece of insanity.
What's even more frustrating, though, is if she has been groomed for this, if she has been planning to shoot for the stars to have one heck of a political career, she just, the things that she says and the mistakes that she makes, it goes beyond just kind of like, just, I don't know, just speaking out of turn and saying goofy things. She just is, like, she says stupid stuff. It was when she misnamed the three branches of government, when she just completely, clearly lies about stuff hours apart. That's just stupidity. I mean, how do you not read a couple more books about what you're doing and what you're running for?
Activists don't have to.
Right.
Because... they're morally right.
And how do you not want to educate yourself?
Here's the thing, though, and I think that's it's. She's a liar, but I agree with Drew and what you said. I don't think she realizes it. The reason why she sounds so ignorant, it's because she is. But the reason that she is because when you look at her background and all the different programs and stuff and her family background and all that, it's clear she's been in that bubble for a long, long time. She's had everything all the words have been bouncing off the bubble back at her. And so when she gets in these interview situations, she's just so used to talking to people that just naturally agree with her on everything. She knows she's not going to get held accountable. So she kind of rolls with whatever the person that's interviewing her is saying and leading her on to.
She is the embodiment of what a lot of people want our public education system to spit out now.
Mm-hmm.
Little activists, yeah. Little, you know, a little ideological, indoctrinated activists. You're seeing more and more programs pop up in our public schools, a lot more programs pop up in our public universities and in our colleges that are designed to indoctrinate people and get them involved in activism. I mean, be prepared. We're going to have 100,000 more Ocasio-Cortezes here in the next 5 to 10 years.
Yeah.
They're going to be, you know, they're going to be spitting them out of our universities and encouraging them to run for office. And they're going to use her, you know, as the template, as the example. It's like, you know, if this 29-year-old bartender from Queens, from a meager background, even though she's not really,
right,
can achieve what AOC has achieved, so can you. We're going to be spitting out thousands more of these people.
You know, the real question is, how seriously does she end up? How seriously is she taken in the long term?
Yeah.
And we have a lot to talk about in regards to that. How seriously is she taken? I very much envision the left, and it's already kind of happening, the left and sort of the, what we would call sort of the establishment Democrats, as opposed to saying the establishment Republicans, the establishment Democrats are not going to like this. This Green New Deal has completely taken the focus off Trump. Nobody's talking about Trump. The timing was great after his great State of the Union speech, but I can't imagine that sort of establishment Democrats are all that pleased right now with the fact that she's sucking so much air out of the room right now with this nonsense.
Not just the establishment Democrats, but every Democrat who is running for 2020. Every Democrat who has decided to run for president in 2020 has to hate this, because this is going to be presented to all of them, and they're all going to have to take a stand on it one way or the other. And if they are opposed to it, the base is going to punish them. Their base is going to punish them. So now they all, the Kamala Harris, the Cory Booker, Elizabeth Warren, possibly Amy Klobuchar, Joe Biden, Beto, they're all going to have to take a position on this nonsense piece of legislation. And if they take the wrong one, it's really going to damage their chances to get through the primary process. So thank you, AOC.
Yeah, she's securing Trump's victory in 2020. Oh. You already have Kamala Harris signing on to this thing, already agreed with it.
She's a co-author.
I mean, how many different... I mean, there's your debate. I mean, there's the debate right there. Whatever candidate that the Dems pick for 2020, if they signed on to this... The debate just needs to be about this. You signed on to this. Let's talk about it.
Yeah.
Let's talk about planting more
trees.
We're all
going to have to take positions on
it.
And tearing down every building that's already existing.
Guaranteed income for people that are also unwilling to work.
So, Democrat 2020 agenda. You're going to eliminate air travel. Let's talk about that. Okay.
Maybe she is a plant.
Can you?
Thank you, AOC.
Like, I got, they have the most.
Yeah, the airline industry employs, you know, hundreds of thousands of Americans, and you want to wipe it out, right?
How you gonna fix save the planet? We're gonna plant a lot of trees.
What if I want to go to Europe?
You better start swimming.
Boat.
Get on a boat.
Oars.
Boats useful too, unless you're rowing.
All right, for real this time. Sam's top five coming up next.
Justice and Drew here on Twin Cities News Talk. I'm really curious to see how long this Green New Deal thing dominates the headlines, because it cracks me up.
I hope it dominates the headlines for 2 years.
they have President Donald Trump seeking re-election in 2020, the most criticized president, right? The most investigated president, like, in the history of all time, right? For the most part. And what should be, putting forward the right candidate, at least I would think if I was a Democrat, what should be sort of a, not an easy beat, but a doable win, right? If you're a Democrat, you gotta feel that way.
Yeah.
And yet their de facto leader is this 28-year-old who has now proposed... 29. It's 29-year-old who has now proposed the most ridiculous, nonsensical, mathematically impossible piece of whatever you want to call it that candidates that are going to be going against Trump have signed on to. That's fantastic.
It's beautiful. It's poetic.
This segment of Justice and Drew's powered by our friends over at Early Word Electric. Sam's top five to finish off your week.
Number one.
As of last night, there were more than 550 crashes statewide. As Minnesota had snowmageddon rot upon us. From Fox 9, Minnesota State Patrol responded to 562 crashes statewide yesterday, and road conditions remained tough as blowing winds continue. And they're icy today, too, so be careful. Mm-hmm. From 5 a.m. to 3:30 p.m. across Minnesota, there were 413 crashes with 32 ending in injury. There were 494 reports of vehicles that went off the road or spun out. There were also 18 jackknifed semis. Then from 3:30 to 9:30 p.m., there were 149 crashes with 7 ending in injuries. There were also 294 spinouts and 19 jackknifed semis. In total, there were 562 crashes and 788 spinouts. And those are just the ones that, I mean, you get documented by police. There's plenty of people who go in the ditch and maybe call a friend and just get pulled out.
Sure. And get a little fender bender, exchange information, and move on.
Yep. None of this surprises me. Even driving in this morning,
it was bad.
Well, and seeing the way that some people just are flying.
Yep.
I mean, at speeds that are already above the speed limit for just normal everyday conditions. And I go, I'm sure a majority of those people are going to get to their destination just fine. But when you look at obviously not all of them, but when you look at the number of crashes and spinouts, my opinion is the biggest reason is people are just, you know, not caring and driving not driving cautiously.
Well, people aren't paying attention. Just like on my way into work this morning, somebody was going down 55, must have realized that they were supposed to turn, so they flipped on their blinker and slammed on the brakes, flew right by where they were supposed to turn, but I was right behind them.
Wow.
And luckily I was paying attention, so I was able to not rear-end them.
Yeah. Look, driving in this type of in these types of conditions, when it's snowy, when it's icy, when it's windy, it's not good. It's not safe. It's you know, it's unpleasant, but it's also not that hard. Just stop being in a hurry.
Just
accept the fact that it's going to take longer, sometimes much longer, to get wherever it is you're going, and just go slow and take your time. Yep. I mean, that's all. It drives me nuts to see these people, you know, weaving in and out of traffic, changing lanes, you know, going 70, 80 miles per hour when conditions are clearly not safe enough to do that. Understand the conditions. Don't overestimate, you know, your vehicle and your driving skills, and just stop being in such a hurry. You're not. It's not a race. Nobody's going to give you a prize for getting to wherever you're getting first.
And I know there's a lot of people that'll go like, well, you know, if it happens to me, then it's on me and all that. But the problem is, no, you're not the only one driving on the roads right now, and especially in these conditions.
Number two.
Nancy Pelosi snubbed AOC and the Green New Deal on the new climate change panel. From hotair.com. The most visible House Democrat on climate change. AOC won't get a seat on Nancy Pelosi's select committee addressing the issue. The Hill reported that Pelosi appointed three other freshman Democrats to the panel, which makes the snub even more obvious. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi on Thursday named eight Democrats to the new special climate change committee, but Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez was not among them. The panel, which is charged with examining climate change and steps to mitigate it, will include lawmakers with a wide range of tenures, including three freshmen. After Democrats won the House majority in November, Ocasio-Cortez emerged as an outspoken advocate for combating climate change and pushed for the select committee to be focused on formulating a Green New Deal that would move the country toward 100% renewable electricity over the next 10 years.
By the way, you want the stat on that? Currently, we're at 11% renewable, which means that 89% is what she would want to have to get rid of in order to make that even possible within 10 years.
That's 89% of our infrastructure of this country.
Right. You're talking 500,000 ginormous 5-megawatt wind turbines on land equal to New York, Pennsylvania, Vermont, New Hampshire, and in open sea regions equal to West Virginia. 18 billion square meters of solar panels on land equal to Maryland and Rhode Island as well. Rooftop solar on 75 million homes and nearly 3 million businesses. That's just to get to a fuel-free system.
But John, if we don't do it, we're all going to die in 12 years.
Well, that's why we have to do it in 10.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they wanted to give us a little wiggle room.
So that we can live the next two.
We only have 12 years left on this planet if we don't do all these things. That's what they would have you believe.
I want the new post-apocalyptic version, you know, of like a Book of Eli or The Road, but I want it to be the post-apocalypse brought about because we adopted the Green New Deal. Yeah. That's what I want.
Here's what's really dangerous about this. Like, there are some very positive steps that we could take to protect our environment, you know, to do things. But it takes the whole environmental movement and it makes it a mockery. It makes it impossible to take these people seriously, which means, like, nothing's going to get done. Things that should get done are not going to get done because nobody's going to want to concede an inch to these lunatics.
Yep.
Number three.
Amazon's Jeff Bezos said the National Enquirer threatened to publish some revealing photos.
I'm glad that he did what he did here.
Yeah, from the Associated Press. Amazon CEO Jeff Bezos said on Thursday that he was the target of extortion and blackmail by the publisher of the National Enquirer, which he said threatened to publish revealing personal photos of him unless he stopped investigating how the tabloid obtained his private exchanges with his mistress. Bezos, who is also the owner of the Washington Post, detailed his interactions with American Media Incorporated, or AMI, in an extraordinary blog post on Thursday on Medium.com. The billionaire did not say the tabloid was seeking money. Instead, he said the Inquirer wanted him to make a public statement about the tabloids that the tabloid's coverage was not politically motivated. Bezos's accusations add another twist to a high-profile clash between the world's richest man and the leader of America's best-known tabloid, a strong backer of President Donald Trump.
Yeah, they're trying to turn this into a Trump thing.
Wow,
what a stretch!
The media, I've seen a lot of people. They want to tie this into a Trump thing. They want to make this about Trump, like Trump directed AMI to try to extort. That's the implication that they want to leave you with. This is part of Trump's feud with Jeff Bezos.
Okay.
That he directed AMI, or AMI did this, you know, on behalf or for the benefit of Trump.
Yeah, his investigators have suggested that the Inquirer's coverage of his affair, which included the release of risque texts, was driven by dirty politics.
No, it was driven by the fact that you're a billionaire. You're the richest person in the world, and when you're the richest person in the world, people are going to come after you.
Yeah, it's not that hard.
People are always going to come after you. It's not that complicated.
But Orange Man bad.
But I'm, you know what? That being said, and Bezos is certainly pushing that implication as well. So, you know, a wag of the finger at him for doing that. But that all being said, I am glad that he stood up to this, and I'm glad that he, you know, it took a lot of courage to publish this and say, look, okay, yeah, they have these things of me. They have risque photos. They have risque texts. They have information about me that is personally and professionally embarrassing. But I am not going to play their game. I'm not going to get blackmailed. I'm not going to get extorted.
Yeah.
So good on him for that.
Yeah. When you're as rich as Bezos, you know, you can make yourself feel better in a bathtub full of cash.
Yeah.
You know?
A lot of selfies while you're in there.
Yeah.
Come up on some unsecured cloud for people to find.
Epsom salts and, you know, $100 bills.
It's like, oh, no, don't look at bad photos. I'm also still super rich.
Number four.
Democrats are muting calls for some Virginia resignations with their power at risk. From the Associated Press, prominent Democrats came down hard on Virginia Governor Ralph Northam after he apologized for a racist photo. But they've been quieter as two more scandals, one involving race, another sexual assault allegation, really serious sexual assault allegations with that. It's rocking Virginia's state house. The subdued response from National Democrats shows how their zero-tolerance approach has put them in a bind.
Mm.
Aww. The party has prided itself on policing its own and hoped to contrast that record with the GOP's tolerance of misbehavior by President Donald Trump.
That's no bias in that line, Associated Press.
Wow.
Now,
no bias. The Democrats, they've really prided themselves on that whole self-policing thing. What are you talking about? What the hell are you talking about? What's self-policing?
Journalism is dead. Now the party is going to have to decide whether it's going to stick with its principles or retain its political power in Virginia.
Did they self-police when it came to Cory Booker? Oh, no, wait, he's running for president.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Okay, just checking.
Liam Donovan, a Republican strategist who, like much of the political world, has watched Virginia's developments with astonishment, said the party's put in an odd position. Let's say they live by their standards in a clean house. The stakes are very real now because the line of succession goes through the other side. Last Friday, a picture of a man in blackface on Northam's medical school yearbook page surfaced, and during a press conference on Saturday, he did insist he was not in that yearbook photo, but admitted that he did once wear blackface. Virginia's Attorney General Mark Herring said it's no longer possible for Governor Northam to lead our Commonwealth. On Wednesday, the Democrat who would succeed Northam, Lieutenant Governor Justin Fairfax, reeled from a detailed statement released by a woman who accused him of sexually assaulting her 15 years ago. Later on Wednesday, Herring, the Democrat who would succeed Fairfax, admitted that he had worn blackface while in college, too. If all three of those Democrats step down, Republicans would take over the state's top offices. The GOP Speaker of the House of Delegates, Kirk Cox, is in line to become governor, and the Republican-controlled House would select a new attorney general. That's a bit of a different dynamic from recent efforts by Democrats to clean house.
Yeah, that's exactly why none of that's going to happen. Yep. It is. It's very telling that, you know, it's all about policing your own, all about holding your own people accountable. Until you might get replaced by a Republican.
And everybody knows that. You know, you'd like to see some sense of of uniformity. You want to see everything sort of held to the same standard, but we just know that it's not going to. So it's another one of those circumstances where, look, it's on a long enough timeline, these guys run for re-election, and hopefully they won't. They'll probably be another Democrat that runs against them and beats them. You're still going to have most likely Democrats running the show when all is said and done. So, you know, as some conservatives and the Republicans, you just sort of bank it away going, okay, fine. The next time you want to come after us on something like this, then we will remember Virginia.
Number five.
Delta is apologizing for napkins that urged flyers to flirt with their plane crush.
Delta is for lovers.
That should not have, that shouldn't have gotten, there should have been like a gatekeeper at some point. I was like, no, not a good idea.
Funny. I think it's funny.
Do you?
Yeah.
Do you want to be someone's plane crush?
Maybe.
You want somebody to flirt with you on a plane?
Maybe.
No,
it's destiny.
You don't. I've flown with you. You don't. I know you.
You want to sleep.
You want to curl up into a tiny little ball and put on your earphones and doze off.
That's true.
Don't bug me, stranger.
From the Washington Post. Falling in love on an airplane is the kind of story you only ever hear in a bar or see in a Lifetime movie. But for a brief time this winter, Delta Airlines wanted to help passengers make it a reality by gently nudging them to hit on other passengers.
Terrible idea.
With cocktail napkins. The small print on the napkin advertising Diet Coke at the same time said, be a little old school, write down your number and give it to your plane crush. You never know.
It's so benign.
I'm sorry these printed words on a napkin offended you.
Yeah, I don't whatever. Know. I don't. I mean, I'm trying to imagine the circumstance where, like, somebody who is, like, on the fence, right? Oh, like, there's a dude, and he's next to a cute girl. They've had a conversation, and I don't know. I want to give her my number. I want to get... It's a sign. Mm-hmm. My napkin.
Yeah.
Okay, maybe I would do that, but that's if I were single. But it seems benign.
I think
the person can still reject it.
Right, and that's the thing. I mean, it's not like Delta is forcing you to marry who you're sitting next to.
Yeah, but of course, people got all upset.
They did. People got all worked up. There was a little space on the napkin where flirtatious passengers could write down their name and another space for their number.
Do you like me? Yes, maybe.
Check one box.
The larger print said, because you're on a plane full of interesting people, and hey, you never know. While some found the napkins clever and charming, others did think they were kind of creepy. In fact, evidently enough people complained that Delta and Coca-Cola apologized for the marketing stunt on Wednesday, saying that the napkins have since been removed from flights.
You know,
just don't give in to the outrage mob.
I know. And it wasn't like they said, you know, ask your plane crush if they want to join the Mile High Club. It wasn't.
That would be inappropriate.
Right?
Whoa.
Do you want to go visit the restroom with me? Yes, maybe. That's not what they said.
Yes, yes.
What?
I'm just nothing. I am adding nothing to this conversation. I'm choosing not to contribute to this particular conversation.
They were very nice, benign napkins, and they were stupid to cave to the outrage.
If you're getting upset about napkins, get a life.
Excellent job, Sam. Stellar top five.
Thank
we will be joined by Representative Tom Emmer.